Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's tax weekend for me. So as much as I'm excited that Friday is nearly upon us, I'm looking at essentially 2 days of doing my taxes, filing them by, I'm hoping, Saturday evening. Although that's ambitious. I might procrastinate a bit and maybe they'll get filed by Sunday instead, but they have to be done because we've got the selection show and then crazy college basketball drama takes over really the sports world for the next several weeks. March Madness officially kicks off with the NCAA selection show, and CBS of course has the big reveal, breaks down all the brackets, find out if your team is in and where it will tip off its quest for the championship Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, on CBS. And so with Selection Sunday, we will have our big selection show following, and we'll have coaches, players from around the country been working on setting up interviews. We'll have Jerry Palm in studio, who's CBS's bracketologist, and generally he gets 67 of the 68 teams, right? And he's been working on CBS and CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports HQ all week, so I'm sure you've seen him. So he'll be in studio with us as well. So it's the big selection show blowout for us to start next week. It will help you get ready for the After Hours Bracket Challenge and all the other bracket challenges that you will participate in. This year, again, the winner of the Bracket Challenge will join us for a future edition of Ask Amy Anything. You can be live here on the show and ask three questions that I am committed to answer. And so if you want to join the Bracket Challenge, you can find the link at the top of our show Twitter page, After Hours CBS, or at the top of our Facebook page. It's pinned in both places. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I have to tell you this really cute story from Thursday. I was doing errands, and one of the places I stopped was my local library. And as I was at the door, I happened to see this older couple who had parked in the handicap spot. And the man was around the passenger side. He had gotten out of the driver's side. He was around the passenger side, and he was helping his wife get out and stand up with her walker. So he had gotten the walker out of the car and he had put it next to the passenger side door, and she was walking kind of, you know, very slowly, just trying to get her balance. So I decided I would wait and hold the door for them. I was maybe 15 feet away, if that. And the man says to me, "We're about a week and a half away from getting to you." It was really sweet. But I told him I didn't have anywhere to go, that I was fine. Even though Penny was in the car, she was fine too. So I told him to take his time. And then I started to tell him about my Grammy Helen, of course. I didn't know how old he was, but clearly they were in their 80s at least. And so I said, "I have a grandmother who's 96. And when I first started talking, he cups his hand around his ear as if he can't hear me. So I used my loudest voice. Well, not my loudest, but I used a louder voice. "I have a grandmother who's 96. And whenever I hang out with her, we slow down. It's a slower pace of life. So I appreciate that. And I don't mind waiting for you." And he said, "Well, I'm 94. My wife is a little bit younger than me." So at 94 years old, this man had driven them to the library and was now helping his wife out of the car with the walker. And she was coming up much more slowly behind him. And I said, "You look amazing for 94. And he said, "Who knows why God picked me to live this long, but he did, and I appreciate it." So at that point, his wife comes toddling up with her walker. Now, she is teeny. I mean, teeny, teeny. And it was in the mid-50s in my neighborhood. It was a brisk breeze on Thursday, but it was much warmer than it's been for the last couple of weeks. And she was wearing a full winter coat and a knit hat on her head, and she was all bundled up for winter. But I could understand why, because she had zero fat on her. What's the name of that wide receiver at the combine who was 1.9% body fat? Oh, is it DK? DK Metcalf? He had nothing on this woman who's, unfortunately, I did not get their names. Anyway, so she comes toddling up with her walker, and she said, I'm 88. I would never have asked her, but she said, I'm 88. So I helped them get into, their double doors, helped them get into the first and second set of doors to go into the library. And it dawned on me that they'd obviously been together for a long time. And so I said, how long have you been married? And she said, 70 years. How about that? They got married when she was 18 years old, and they had been together. They've been together now for 70 years, and they're both still alive, still smiling, still moving around. In fact, they were going so slowly, I got up to the counter. I mean, they said thank you, and I told them to have a nice day, and it was so nice to meet them. And I went up to the counter to stand and wait. Well, it took a minute before the librarian got off the phone, and so they continued their slow pace into the library. And so she's walking behind me as I'm returning my book, and she said, what are you reading? So I told her, and she said, where can I find that book? So they checked the book in, and I just put it on her walker and said, here you go. She's got two other ones. It's really good. I recommend it. But yeah, this absolutely made my day. Cutest couple, 94 and 88, married for 70 years. And I can imagine they've seen all kinds of incredibly happy moments, but also devastatingly sad moments. My own grandmother's story is like that. She's outlived all of her siblings. She's outlived some of her nieces and nephews. I mean, many of her friends have passed away. In fact, she still gets the newspaper from her little town where she lived for 70 years. And the first thing she does is look at obituaries. So you can only imagine how many people they've lost, but they were still smiling, and they were so cute and just so pleasant. Absolutely made my day. So that was really sweet. Yet another reason to visit the local library, because you never know what kind of people you might run into. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Also, I am now a month out from my next half marathon. And as I was thinking about that on Thursday, I wanted to make sure you saw the pictures of our guest in studio yesterday morning. So I got off the air immediately after we were finished talking to Mina Gooley. And she was in here telling her story about running marathons on all seven continents and starting out to run 100 marathons in 100 days before she broke her leg. She had done 62 days, and then she broke her leg. And all of this to raise awareness for the water conservation effort that should be going on, that she believes in. She's also part of this big Cirque du Soleil event that will be broadcast live on CBS. Not live, I'm sorry. It'll be broadcast on CBS on Saturday night. It was taped a week ago in Las Vegas. So Cirque du Soleil does a special water show, and she was part of it telling her story. Anyway, I didn't realize that one of her friends who was with us in studio was taking pictures. We did take a photo after the fact, and she posted those once we were already off the air. So if you didn't see those photos, I retweeted them yesterday evening, and so they're up on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, but I thought you might like to see them. Big smile on her face. I don't think I'd be smiling like she was. She was on crutches, and she's trying to recover from a broken leg, but she couldn't have been more gracious, and I'm really excited to see that Cirque du Soleil event that'll be broadcast live on CBS. Why do I keep saying that? It'll be broadcast on CBS on Saturday night. Cirque du Soleil is not live. I am live right now. There's a big difference. But it is the last show of the week, so you'll have to cut me some slack. All right, our phone number is 855-212-4227. I appreciate all of your tweets. A lot of you are weighing in about the team that you would most like to see on Hard Knocks. And the reason I'm asking is because it's not all 32 teams that are eligible to be on what is now an HBO standard. And do people still watch it? That's an interesting question. I'm not sure if it's as popular as it was at the beginning. And sometimes I wonder how much of it is staged, blah. But generally, because these guys are going through practices and meetings, it's kind of fun to be on the inside. And so, yeah, I think you get a closer look at personalities as well. And that's certainly what HBO thrives on. But they have specific rules. only that one of the rules is that it's only teams who haven't been to the playoffs in the last 2 years, and it's only teams that have not been on the show in the last 10 years, and you can't have a first-year head coach. So that eclipses most of the franchises in the NFL. But it leaves us with five. The Lions, the Raiders, the Giants, the Niners, the Redskins. So the mix is kind of interesting. You're coast-to-coast, two teams from the NFC East, two teams from the Bay Area, and then Detroit, smack dab in the middle. And so we're asking you, which team would you most like to see on HBO's Hard Knocks come this summer? And I've appreciated some of your answers. I don't know about the competition for the Raiders. I can make a case for all of these other teams, but I feel like there's most potential for drama with the Raiders if you think about their personalities. However, if the Giants would draft a rookie quarterback, the dynamic of a 38-year-old Eli Manning and a brand new QB, who is obviously the heir apparent, to me, the irony of having that on Hard Knocks when it was Eli Manning, not even 20 years ago. How long has Manning been in the NFL now? 17 years? So 2004, so not quite 17 years. I gave him a little extra time. But the fact that he and his family wanted to play in New York, they didn't want to be in San Diego, so they finagled this trade. They made it clear they weren't going to play for the Chargers. And so he ends up in New York, and Kurt Warner's the starter, but it was dead man walking. And isn't that what Eli Manning is now? He's dead man walking. Now, the Giants have committed to him, and they've said he will be the starter, but for how long? They're clearly in a rebuild. So let's just say they get Dwayne Haskins in the draft. Oh, well, we can all see the writing on the wall, and so can Eli. So to me, that dynamic might be fascinating as well. So you're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Scott says, as a Steeler fan for 30-plus years, I'm completely good with no Bell and Brown. We recover always. However, wouldn't you like to watch Brown on Hard Knocks? Glenn says, Brown again, in response to the question about Hard Knocks. He would turn Hard Knocks into his own personal platform. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So you can reply on social media, Facebook, as always. All you top fans, you get labeled by Facebook. And I wish I could take credit for it. I wish, because so many of you have said thank you for making me a top fan. I wish I could take credit for it, but it's actually not. It's not us. It's Facebook. It's their attempt to soothe all of the animosity they've created over selling our information to the Chinese. So don't be fooled by Facebook. Anyway, some of you weighing in. I just saw this one Lions fan. I want to read his post. But Stewart says, I'd love to see the Redskins on Hard Knocks. They've been a total gong show for 20 years. Dane says, I'm a Niner fan. While I would like to see them, I'm sure Kyle, meaning Kyle Shanahan, would much rather not. I'm also a Gruden fan, so I will say the Raiders. Let's see. Brian says the Lions, but that's not the one I was looking for. Where did it go? I refreshed and it disappeared. Was something about, no, not the Lions. Shoot. Where did it go? Okay, so I'm bad at finding, this is what I get for refreshing the page to see what else is up there. So I lost it. But it was something about, no, please, not the Detroit Lions. That's my team. Why? Is there some jinx associated with it? I don't think there's a jinx with, well, I don't believe in jinxes anyway. But I don't know if people are associating their appearance on Hard Knocks with a really bad campaign. The idea is none of these teams have been in the playoffs in the last 2 years. So how much worse can it get? I mean, let's see if the Hard Knocks appearance can actually reverse the directions of the franchise. All right. So you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter. Like I said, those pictures from yesterday morning in studio, if you've ever wondered what the inside of our studio looks like, there are some pictures there too. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Coming up next, see. What do we want to do coming up next? You know what? Le'Veon Bell gets introduced to the New York media, and it's all love. What did he have to say about his time in Pittsburgh, though? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And a deep handoff to the left. Le'Veon turns the corner. He's at the five. He's to the pylon and skips into the end zone for the Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. Le'Veon Bell just turned the corner. There was great blocking on the flank, and he skipped inside the pylon.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When last we saw Le'Veon Bell, it was over a year ago, 2017 season, but he now has a new home with the New York Jets. That was Bill Hillgrove on the Steelers radio network when he was tearing it up. Does he have any regrets at all about sitting out 2017? That was one of the questions he answered on his conference call with New York reporters in advance of his introduction with the New York Jets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love all of your responses about the Hard Knocks question. I'll just be honest, I didn't know if you would be that interested in it, but I'm glad that you are, and some of your responses are cracking me up. So we'll try to share a few more of those on Twitter and on Facebook. But Bell says this about 2018. Who's to say a team would take me after 400 carries? So he believes that sitting out last year and not having that same heavy workload with the Steelers, that it helped his market value, not hurt his market value, despite the fact that he was offered $70 million over 5 years by Pittsburgh reportedly, and that it was a... Now, I've heard different numbers, so I guess you can believe what it is that you want to believe, but I've heard anywhere between $10 and $20 million guaranteed. So if you're wondering about the guaranteed money specifically, and you look at what the Jets gave him, which is $25 million guaranteed at signing, then the gamble he took paid off, if all you're looking at is guaranteed money. But he can't get back the $14.5 million that he gave up on last year's salary. And he did give up a year in his prime, though he says it was better because there is less wear and tear. And then he talks about potentially getting hurt. If I go out and I play last year with the Steelers on that franchise tag, if I do get hurt, do I end up sitting in this position today, being with the New York Jets on a, quote, beautiful deal? So Le'Veon Bell is sticking to his guns. This is not anything he regrets, and he's happy with the way that things worked out. And he also said choosing gangrene wasn't all that difficult.
The Jets is kind of the team that, you know, I kind of had in the back of my mind where I wanted to go. Growing up, my whole family was literally Pittsburgh Steelers fans. I was literally the only one who grew up a Curtis Martin fan, loving the New York Jets.
We knew that Curtis Martin played a role in recruiting him. Do you know who else played a role in recruiting him? It was the Draymond Green to Kevin Durant equation.
You know, really, it's just obviously the opportunity to hit free agency, me growing up, you know, being a Jets fan, Jamal Adams on Twitter, Instagram saying, come here, come here. When I say the stars aligned, I mean literally, it's like stars aligned. I had to come here.
So he says the stars aligned for him to be with the New York Jets. All right, so we'll take more of your calls, 855-212-4227. Let's see if we can work in one here with Mike, who's in Detroit. Welcome to After Hours.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
It's an honor to speak with you.
I appreciate that.
I just wanted to make a comment about the Hard Knocks. I think it'd be interesting to have the Detroit Lions in it.
How come?
Since they don't win anything and our organization is crap and just all that good stuff, you know?
So you would prefer to watch crap on Hard Knocks?
Yes, I would, because I think it would be very entertaining with the owners, the forwards, how they don't care about winning. Crappy franchise, crappy coach trying to be Belichick.
How do you know that he's a crappy coach? He's had 1 year.
Yeah, but I just don't have any faith, I guess. I just lost faith a long time ago.
Okay, but that's not Matt Patricia's fault. I mean, he could very well end up being a great head coach. He needs some time. He deserves some time to build his system and to get the people in place that he's comfortable with in his system. And you know what? If he is the Detroit Lions version of Bill Belichick, I think the franchise is in a really good spot. I mean, who doesn't want to be a Bill Belichick disciple? I don't think that's a bad deal. But come on, you got to give him a little more time.
I hope you're right. You know, I just... years and years of being put down by this team, it gets to you.
Yeah, no, I understand. But you never know when they might turn a corner. For instance, the Cleveland Browns have been in a very similar situation, revolving door of quarterbacks, of coaches, of general managers. Finally, the Haslams hire the right guy in John Dorsey, and things have turned around very quickly.
Yes. Plus, I think we need to get rid of Stafford and get a new quarterback, too.
All right. Well, we'll see if that's on the to-do list for the Lions this season. Thanks. I appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Again, 855-212-4227. Happy almost Friday. For those of you who are not quite on your Friday, come on, catch up. Don't be stragglers. The weekend is looming, which is going to be great for college basketball. How about those of you who are into golf? It's kind of weird to have the Players' Championship right now, but at least it feels that way to me. So we'll talk about that a little bit. You can hear from Tiger Woods. He is 5 shots back of the leaders after his opening round at TPC Sawgrass.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
2 of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records on the line. Spence Jr. versus Garcia. That comes up Saturday, tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's live on pay-per-view, and you can order it now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. What's the team you'd like to see on Hard Knocks of the choices? So keeping in mind, HBO has special rules, and unless they bend those rules, there are only 5 candidates this year. 2 from the Bay Area, the 2 from the Bay Area in the Niners and the Raiders, 2 from the NFC East with the Redskins and the Giants, and then the Lions out there in the middle of the country. And so you've got 5 choices, and you can decide which one you'd most like to see. It's funny how many of you are making your choice based on the fact that you think you'll see a train wreck. So you're not interested in seeing a team rebuild, get better, show you how to turn that ship around. Nope. Many of you would prefer to see a total disaster. So you can find us on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Landis says, I would like to see Oakland on Hard Knocks simply to see the Brown and Carr chemistry. So referring to Antonio Brown and Derek Carr. And I think that would be interesting as well. Now, there is going to be a honeymoon period. We saw AB show up at Brown's house in a video that was put up on Raiders.com. And they were all hugs and kisses and smiles and playing football at a park. And so there certainly is a common bond now. They both feel as though they've been persecuted and they've been misunderstood and they've been traded, obviously. So AB was traded to Oakland and then Derek Carr feeling like he was the subject of trade rumors more than once. And so I feel like there's a bond there, not to mention their common goal. But does it stay that way when they hit some hard times? Whether or not we see it on Hard Knocks is a different story. But when they hit hard times, will that bond be stronger or will it rip apart? 855-212-4227. Justin says on Facebook, it's between the Raiders and the Niners for me. Both bottom tier teams, but with the Raiders off season, it makes them very interesting. The Niners have some key players coming back from injury, makes them watchable too. Drama and entertainment wise, though, I'll take the Raiders. Yeah, I could make a case for all of them. The Lions, to me, seem like the one that is maybe 5th on my list. Matt Patricia, while he has personality that we see on the sidelines of games, so far he hasn't shown a whole lot of it in press conferences for obvious reasons. He came from the Bill Belichick school of how to treat the media. But I don't know. I want some personalities that can be featured, and so does HBO. I do like the idea of Eli Manning seeing the writing on the wall and knowing that a rookie quarterback is there to take his job, and whether or not he helps that rookie quarterback, or maybe he tries to sabotage him. You know, he like hides his uniform or puts a rat in his locker. I don't know. Just, you never know what might happen. Eli Manning might stoop to. It's After Hours on Facebook, and then on our Twitter as well. You can find our link to the After Hours Bracket Challenge by going to either one of those pages. All right, so this is kind of strange. It is strange for me, and maybe it's strange for you if you're a huge golf fan. It's the first year that the Players' Championship has been moved up into March so that it's before the Masters. Now, the Players' Championship is not an official major, but it's always been called the fifth major, so to speak, because of the money and because of the profile. It's TPC Sawgrass, the Island Green, la, la, la. It's a favorite of the players, and it's also very competitive. It brings out the best golfers in the world. And so it usually comes after the Masters, where we have a chance. The Masters is the first major of the year. It's, let's be honest, the unofficial start to the part of the golf season where people really begin to pay attention. Have we had tournaments already? Yes, they've done their entire West Coast swing. Now they're doing Southeast and of course, sticking to warmer climates. But the Masters, it really does signal the start of that period when we don't just know who the winner is, if that even. I mean, I haven't mentioned one of the winners so far on any of the PGA Tour events this year. But again, the Masters is the one where we start to pay attention. And so here's the Players' Championship. Just feels like an odd spot for it. Competing with college basketball this weekend, as well as everything else that's going on, NFL free agency, NBA, NHL, la, 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 you all know. And I haven't heard a peep. I'll bet most of us didn't even know it was happening this weekend, unless you're a diehard golf fan. I watched a little bit of it. I stumbled upon the live coverage on the Golf Channel on Thursday after I woke up. But there's not the same buzz that you normally get with the Players' Championship. Again, because people are all excited about the Masters. Usually we get a good finish at the Masters. But it's the atmosphere. It's the tradition. It's everything that's wrapped up in golf's first major. So it sets a tone then for the rest of the spring and the summer where people start to pay attention to the major tournaments at the very least. So maybe you don't know that Tommy Fleetwood and Keegan Bradley are tied atop the leaderboard at -7. And that Tiger Woods is -2, which would put him 2 back of the leaders.
You know, I felt like I could have got something in the 60s today, you know, and we got off to, not exactly the best of starts today. Hit some bad shots early, rectified that, made a few adjustments, and then went on about my business. And then the back nine, you know, there's 9 holes on the back nine, made 1 par. So yeah. That was interesting.
I went about my business. It's going to be interesting to see how he follows up last year, especially the end of last year. I know the Ryder Cup was a royal disaster, but he admits at that point he was completely exhausted. So the earlier tee time maybe is better for Tiger. Had the 70 at the Players. It's early. There's a lot. I'm not going to go into everything. But right now it's a crowded leaderboard, so it should be fun. I just wish more people knew that it was happening right now. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, let's talk to Mark, who's in South Carolina. Mark, welcome.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, the Odell Beckham trade. Everything I read about this, all I'm hearing is that the Giants have totally blown it. But the guy was an absolute head case. And if the Giants can capitalize by picking up a big interior lineman, or more so an offensive lineman with that extra pick, and if they make a smart one at number 6, I think they're ahead of the game. I just don't think it's as disastrous as everybody else thinks. Beckham is one, an injury risk, and two, he's, as I said, he's an absolute head case.
Yeah, I don't know that I feel like the disaster part, and disaster might be too strong. I don't know that I feel like the whole rebuild is necessarily attached to the Beckham trade. Most of the response, most of the reaction I've gotten from Giants fans about the Beckham trade was a positive one. That even it might have happened a year too late. Why give him that massive deal that now, you know, cost you, what is it, $16 million against the salary cap because of when they traded him? Why bother giving him that money? Because he was a mess and was a problem from the moment he got to town. So I don't know that the reaction to the trade, at least what I've heard, has been negative, only about the timing. And I think a lot of people are still questioning the commitment to Eli Manning. Now, it's not all his fault how bad the offense was last year. I was constantly pounding this drum about terrible offensive line, and they definitely had made that a priority last offseason, so it better be a priority again, and the decisions better be smarter this season. I don't know. Maybe the addition by subtraction turns out to be a positive one. Certainly, though, their defense has lost some major pieces, older pieces, and so you're counting on the draft and you're counting on younger guys to step up, and there's a degree of uncertainty when you do that.
Well, I think, as I said, I think Giant fans, you're correct. They probably don't think that losing Beckham is so terrible. But any of the things you pick up on the internet, almost everybody that first day thought that the Browns were the absolute winners and the Giants were, you know, not knowing what they were doing. Now, they've made, as you say, they made bad cap decisions with him. Cornerback that they let go without any compensation wasn't smart. Who would you, if you were the Giants, which way would you go with that number six pick? Are you going to go QB or are you going to go pick up some defensive? You know, there's so many people. Seneca, Clemson, of course, we got our three fantastic linemen up there. And, you know, you pick up one of you pick up somebody that early. Which way do you go?
I don't think they can avoid the quarterback route again. So last year they had a chance to get Sam Darnold. Last year they had an opportunity to pick their next franchise QB and they passed. I don't dislike the choice of Saquon Barkley. This guy could end up being a once-in-a-generation running back, and teams need that. So I don't believe that that's a bad pick, and I've supported the Giants in making that choice. The issue, though, is that they're still stuck at the QB position. Some of the younger guys that they thought might work out are not, clearly, and they're still committed to Eli Manning, mostly because it's the devil you know, the devil you don't know. What else is there if it's not Eli Manning? And so I believe they can't bypass the opportunity to get another young QB. Now, I don't know if Dwayne Haskins will still be available at number six. My suspicion is that they might package their two first-round picks and move up a couple spots, maybe trade with the Jets to ensure that they get Haskins if that's the guy they want. He's a prototypical guy, a pocket passer, big arm. We know he's athletic. He had 3 years in school. So I don't know that they can pass up on getting their next QB. Now, there's no guarantees, but to me it feels like Haskins might be the right choice, and he's there if they play their cards right.
Okay, I can agree with Haskins. I just don't see packaging two first rounders for him. By the way, in Clemson, there's
you're packaging two, but you're only losing one. I mean, you're moving up to get him, which is pretty much to ensure that he doesn't go somewhere else. So you're really only losing the one that you got from the Cleveland Browns.
Right. But just really quickly, you're a former collegiate basketball player, correct?
Mm-hmm.
There's an amazing story in Clemson that so many people are missing, which is the turnaround of their women's basketball team from an absolute train wreck to hopefully they'll make it to the big dance. Have you followed that at all? You got a team that won four ACC games in the past three 3 or 4 years, and now their coach, this Amanda Butler, has just rocketed them then to an 18-12 record, and extremely competitive. It's just an amazing story.
Yeah, those kind of turnarounds are fun. Certainly, this is the time of the year where even if you don't have the resume to get into the tournament, you can try to earn your way in. So that's cool. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff in college basketball. Mark, thank you so much. We're up against the top of the hour, but I appreciate your phone call. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I appreciate all your tweets, especially those of you who like the story about the cute couple that I met at the library. Yeah, 94, he was driving her around at 88 and still taking care of her, and they've been married for 70 years, so that was sweet. I'm glad that you liked the story. Let's see, coming up next hour, we're going to go a little deeper with the Ravens, which have had a bit of a roller coaster in this free agent period so far, losing some major pieces, some major cogs, but trying to fill the holes as well. We've also got the return of Zion Williamson, just in time for Duke, but just in time for Zion to have his Blue Devils Tar Heels experience. 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.